All right, we're going to have a teaching first. This is called Walking in the Supernatural. This is what Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, this is what supernatural means. There's no word supernatural in the scriptures. Being beyond or exceeding the powers of law of nature, miraculous. A supernatural event is one which is not produced according to the ordinary or established laws of natural things. My opinion, supernatural overrides the law of nature, like walking on the water. Like the axe head that floated on the water, Jesus walking on the water, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, one rising from the dead. This is all in the supernatural realm. This is the walk of the Spirit. These are the things that Jesus did while he was here. This is man's capability, or that's what man's capability was in the very beginning. God made him to what? Create? See, God, the Creator, made us to be creative. So we are to create. That's why we're here. Yeah. What happened? The infiltration from fake news and propaganda infiltrated our world. Man forgot that he was made in the image and likeness of God. He believed the devil and forgot what God had said. God said to take dominion. He made it. He put the man in it and said, now whatever you say goes. Well, look around you. What happened? Another narrative. All right, under the world system, the God of this world's influence, we have lived most of our lives with the mindset that we have to perform to get ahead. That was never God's plan. I remember Brother Copeland saying that a few years ago. He said, God didn't create you to work for a living. He created you to work for a given. Yep. This false narrative has caused grave setbacks, not only in the world, but also in the church. I don't mean anything against other ministers, but I'm grieved about the fact that they do not even know the times we are in. How can they even be relevant with this mindset? Jesus himself faced this with the spiritual leaders of his day, and this is what he had to say about it. I received a letter this week I get from somebody I used to support, and I do esteem them very highly, but they mention the rapture at least twice in their letter, and they're clueless. They, as far as end-time theology, they were just all messed up all over the map, and I'm just going, Lord, and these are highly esteemed, seasoned ministers that have been doing this for 60 years, and I'm going, Lord, I don't get it. Well, I think it's because they're old guard. I think maybe they're not supposed to get it. It's not that they're wrong, it's that they're over. I hate to say that. They're finished. They finished their course, and God will, like Tony Cook said, God will send them to the reward. They have to go. Because if they stay, they'll be a determinant. What did the Pharisees do in Jesus' day? Well, we're going to read a couple of scriptures here. This is Matthew chapter 9. It's the times we're in. I guess they don't discern the times we're in because they're not going to be in the times that are coming. They've run their race and finished their course. And I don't believe this has to do with age. I think it has to do with how old you are. Well, not even age, even spiritual age. It's just more of what dispensation you're called to, I guess. What your time. We always think old guard, we think old people, but that doesn't necessarily mean so. I think your old mindsets are what's your problem. It's not that your body's old or you're old chronologically, it's your mindset. Okay, Matthew 9. 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh away from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. All right, there's another account. This is Matthew 13, 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. So he's gonna seal us in his forehead and call us from the four corners of the earth. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Now, this is the kingdom of heaven we're talking here. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. At first, my take is that the kingdom will not be instant, but a weeding out process. At first, the old will still be here. I'm speaking of the old guard. They mean well, but they are what? They are what of what their doctrine taught them and not of what God is now doing. See, that was good. Old Testament was right on track until Jesus came. And they were wanting to hold on to the old and not embrace the new. This is where the trouble came in. That I already told you about. I received a letter from a partner they used to support, and I esteemed them highly. And the letter, their revelation doctrine was all over the place, and this was very grievous to me. I can't help it. I just want to fix it. Every time I come across this, it makes me angry because I want to fix it. I want to get in their face and say, how can you believe that? They mentioned the rapture twice and all this stuff about Israel, not even discerning what it really is. Who started Israel? It was not God. Not what we call the nation of Israel today. It's a Rothschild operation. Deep state. Clearly, they know nothing about the truth about Israel, how it was founded, who started it, etc. They just have the rapture theory, the traditions they learned in the camp they were in. While I'm grieving over this, the Holy Spirit quickened to me, old guard. Now you can understand what these scriptures are referring to. We're going to have to deal with the old for a while until the new has completely taken hold. I believe it's just going to be they're going to begin to die off and go to be with the Lord or however. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for them, and it's a good thing for those that are moving forward in the kingdom of God. All right. Here's some more scriptures. Mark 2. It's the same thing. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. All right, Luke 5. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So they couldn't understand, they couldn't embrace what was going on here. And then Jesus said unto him, why do you, the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bridegroom chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a new piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. See, if that's all you've known your whole life, it's going to be, unless you're really following the Spirit and you're open-minded, you're going to say no. Because I've heard many of these, and some of these are prophets in the forefront. Oh, it's not the time yet. It doesn't get any worse than this, I don't think. What's been uncovered all over the world, what's going to be revealed as that comes forth, it doesn't get any better or any worse than that, as far as I'm concerned. What they've done to the children, what they do underground. Yeah. But see, people that have these mindsets and their dispensation, it's going to be hard-pressed for them to come out of that. They're going to have to really be someone that really does move with the Spirit. No, we got to do it this way. There's a lady that's on social media that kind of gives news, and one day she said, she's an Assembly of God, she said, if you're teaching there's not a rapture, you're a false prophet. And I thought, ooh. Yeah. And she's cut off her comments. She will not take any feedback from anyone. No, it's this way or it's the highway for you. You know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that's a pretty dangerous thing to say. They don't know what they're saying because they're so ingrained in their, you know. So anyway, and there, she's not even Word of Faith. She's more Jimmy Swaggart, you know, because that's the fellowship she grew up in, you know, there in Lubbock. So nothing against her. Nothing against her at all. But, you know, there's these mindsets that, you know, she says everybody needs to wake up. And I'm thinking, what about you? What about you waking up? You know, there's a lot of them out there saying everybody needs to wake up, but I think really some of it is they need to wake up and discern the signs of the times, and the times we're in. All right. We see here the questioning, the old questioning the new. It seems that God's plan for man was thwarted from the get-go. God's plan has always been my kingdom come, my will be done in earth as in heaven. Well, an enemy has sown tares among the wheat. I believe the old guard will go on to their reward. Just like Tony Cook said, the Lord showed him. If they remained, they would be like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. The Pharisees in Jesus' day accused him of casting out demons by the devil, not by the Spirit of God. Just like, well, if you don't teach the rapture, you're a false prophet or false teacher. That makes me want to get in your face. Anyway, there is an assembly. All right, I've already told you about that. The old guard versus the new guard. In that case, they can become the enemy. They were the enemy of Jesus. And today, for them to continue would be like them, what is coming in that's new, they're the enemy. And that's why they have to go. The Lord says, you finished your race, your course. You did what you were supposed to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So expect that to happen. It's going to begin to happen. I remember back in the, it had to be in the 90s. It might have been the late 90s. I remember telling someone, said, the Lord spoke to me that the old guard was going to go home. We saw Lester Summerall go home, Brother Hagen go home. I can't remember who else went home, several. And we're talking the real, they were old. Yeah, Oral Roberts was not, well, he was a little bit later, but during that time, it started to happen. They started going home. All right. Okay. This was never God's plan for man. This was never God's plan for his body either. It will be crucial to be listening on the inside when dealing with these issues, which will arise. We are not here to argue, but to show people the truth and be an example for them to follow. Now, this is what the Lord said here. This is kind of teaching, and the Lord's speaking to me, and I'm writing down what he's saying. Right here, the Lord said, as the Lord was speaking to me about this, he said this directly, that he had been speaking to us about coming aside and looking inside. He said that if we are speaking, he will not be speaking. Isn't it rude to speak when somebody else is speaking? Yeah. He will speak when you get quiet. I use the term, when I'm not hearing, I'll say crickets. Yeah. I think on some occasions the Lord has just seen how long we will wait on him before just doing something. Or will not cave into the pressure that is being put on us to perform. Oh, I got to do something. Yeah, I just got to do something. We're not here to perform, but to come aside and look inside and obey God's instructions. The Lord further said, I have a plan for man, and it is a good one. Trouble is, many have been trained to get quick answers and will not discipline themselves to wait on me. They don't have time, they say. Those who will not take the time, shipwreck is ahead for them. But they that wait on me will never regret it. Isaiah 40:31, which is a great scripture, fits this perfectly. Well, let's just go with 29. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we're looking to the Lord to give us the strength, the grace, everything that we need to fulfill what he's called us to do. All right, he continues on. I have all the answers to every need you have. I have the battle plan to cause you to win every battle. I am the all-knowing, all-seeing one, and there is nothing that I will withhold from you when you take the time to listen. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I have said so in my word that the flesh profits nothing. The flesh must be crucified with its lust. See, the flesh just wants to do something. Take it into their own hands to do something. I want to look a few scriptures on those. The first one's Romans 6. All right. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do you need me to wait on you? Okay. Thank you, Lord. We are waiting on the Lord to renew our strength. All right, Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, if you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? All right, Galatians 2:20. Got two or three here before we continue on. All right, Galatians, there you are. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, now go to Galatians 5. Starting with 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me. Wait a minute, I'm in 6, sorry. Okay. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders and drunkenness, revelings and such like, with the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. You know, Ogard should say, well, you know what? I'm going to get before the Lord and I'm going to hear about it, hear what I need to hear. Strong's here, crucified, means to impel, figuratively to extinguish, subdue passion or selfishness. Yeah, selfishness. In other words, we do not have an independent agenda. Isn't that what Satan's fake news and propaganda is? Is to get us off the right course and onto the wrong course, okay? This is what Satan promises, a free lifestyle, gay, transgender, etc. But really, it is bondage. These people are sick. These people are so messed up and twisted that I feel sorry for them. There is probably not one of these tormented souls that wouldn't recant if they knew they could. If they could get help and get out of this situation, and I believe they would want to. You know what tranny is? Transformed into Satan's image. Yeah. That spirit of tranny twists God's word. The Lord continued, there's a reason that there are so few in the Faith Hall of Fame. What they did was by faith. It's not by what they did in the flesh. I hate the garment spotted by the flesh. All of these pulled aside and looked inside to hear what I had to say. This is why they came out of the situations as more than conquerors. And we know the Faith Hall of Fame. We know the different ones in the Faith Hall of Fame and what they did. They did exploits. They did supernatural things. But the thing was, they faced, it didn't look like a good thing at first. Like going in the lion's den didn't look good at first, or going in the fiery furnace didn't look good at first, or looking at that giant and I've got a slingshot and he's got this huge spear and shield. It didn't look like a good thing at first. But what happened as a result at the end of that? They prevailed. They were mountain movers. They all did it by faith, it says. All right, this is the Lord here. A time is coming that you will begin to hear my voice and will once again begin to follow me. This is how America and the nations will return to greatness. They will return to me, the great God. Do not think for a moment that anything can be great or great again without me. I'm making America great again. All right, 2 Chronicles 7. And I know of a fact. In fact, I heard someone say this. It might have been Phil, but I'm not sure. It might have been SQAnon, but they're kind of on the same page. They were talking about, don't think for a minute that Donald Trump is not a praying man. He's looking to God. That's the only reason. That's the only thing. They're waiting on his decision. He is waiting before God. Okay, Lord, we've done all of this. Now what do we do? That's the holdup. That gives me great comfort to know that. All right, 2 Chronicles 7:12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. That's the prayer. All right. Solomon came aside and looked inside, just like what happens when leaders do this. I hear and I answer. How did they get in this sorry state? They forgot about me, the God of living waters. This is Jeremiah 3. Verse 9. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord. Is it any wonder he calls these rogue nations harlots, like the harlot in Revelation? The Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful unto the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, for thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. It shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall hat be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from it. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so ye have dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. I didn't get the scripture out of that I was supposed to. Where was it? 13. Huh. Well, it was in there. Where did it go? Can you look that up? Do you have a concordance? You can look that up.
What?
Living Waters. Okay. Unless I wrote it down wrong. Two thirteens. What is the deal with me? It's my twos and my threes here. Okay. Right here. Just Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Okay. All right. Follow me, for I know where I'm going. Even though you do not, you have no reason to fear, for I'm with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Trust me. Now put away the works of the flesh and stop trying to get yourself out of the situations you are in. Follow me and I will lead you beside the still waters and green pastures. Stop struggling and cast all your care on me, for I care for you. I have broad shoulders and I have come alongside you to yoke up with you. There it is, grace. That is when I carry most of the load for you. Let me carry the load. Cast that care on me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Believe me when I say this to you, that your best days are ahead of you. Just rest in me. Let me carry your load and fight your battles. At times I will allow a sheep's leg to be broken so that the sheep will stop wandering. Adversity, although I do not cause it or bring it, is effective in stopping the sheep from straying. Seems in most cases it takes something like this for my sheep to pull aside and look inside. For your good, I must allow it. If I didn't allow it, you would never learn what you need to learn to walk in the Spirit and have true victory in your life. Are y'all hearing this?
Yes.
I'm taking down all the Jerichos across this nation and the world. I'm giving my apostles the plan. This new era will be the era of my kingdom, my seventh day of rest, not just for me, but for all my children. No longer will the evil plans of the enemy prevail. Their six days has run out. All will come to know me and will receive the fruit of knowing me. My kingdom come, my will be done in earth as in heaven. And I have one scripture here. This is Isaiah chapter 9. See, if the shepherd doesn't break the wandering sheep's leg, the wolf will get him. All right. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That they dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thus multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his off of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So that's the king. This is the kingdom we're talking about here. God's government. All right.
Is that it?
On this one, yeah.